Let's open in prayer. Father, we do thank you that our sins can be washed away, and truly they can be whiter than snow, as the song says. And we thank you that you provided that for us in the person of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, may we always honor him with our lives. He's done so much for us. He's given us a new life. He's given us hope. And Father, we thank you for that, given us direction. And Father, we pray that whatever said and done here today would honor him. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles this morning to Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. We've been doing characters of the Bible, and this morning we're going to look at Rahab. And we're going to look at Rahab's testimony. Years ago in evangelical churches like ours, they would have a testimony time where individuals would stand up and they would talk about how they first heard the good news and how they related to that, where they were whenever they made a decision for Christ, whether to follow him or not. And what has happened, what had transpired in their life from the time that they had received Christ as their Savior. That was a good time. I don't think we have that anymore, and it's too bad. It's one of those things I think was good for other people to hear, what God was doing in that particular individual's life. There are so many characters in the Bible that have been touched by God under so many various circumstances and ways. There's not just one path to follow to get to that salvation. There are many, many paths. Now, there's only one way of salvation, and that's through the person of Christ. But people were born under many circumstances. And we're looking at Rahab. The thing about Rahab is the fact that she was a harlot when the children of Israel came into Jericho. And she owned a place in which people could stay. It was like an inn. But that's the business that she was in. And the Bible calls her that a number of times. Rahab the harlot. But the thing is, she believed. When she heard about Israel, and when she heard about what God was doing with Israel, and she heard that their city, Jericho, was under condemnation, was going to be destroyed, people surrounding her didn't believe that. But she did. That's the amazing thing. I don't know, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people there in Canaan at that time, and there's one that believed. Now, those people had a God, but she didn't believe in that God. She believed in the God of Israel. She believed in the God of creation. And you say, well, it just happened. It just happened that Joshua sent two spies in to spy out the land. And they ended up in the city of Jericho. And they found themselves in Rahab's home, Rahab's business, let's say. Now, they weren't there on business because it was also an inn. But there they were, two spies. She discussed with them the things of God, and they enlightened her about what God was going to do. One of those men, a man by the name of Salmon, fell in love with her. When the children of Israel came into the land, and she made this statement to them, that she wanted to be saved, and she wanted her mother and her father and her sisters and her brothers saved, and they gave to her the plan of salvation for her family. She believed that. And what they told her to do, put that red cord out through that window of that home that was on the wall, she did that. And whenever the authorities got the information that those spies were in her home, they came to investigate. And she hid the spies. And she lied about it. Because then, well, you shouldn't lie. Well, no, you shouldn't lie. But she lied. In any case, they were saved. And later on, she became the wife of Salmon. And she is found in the genealogy that leads to Christ. She was in the genealogy that led to King David. A couple of titles that people have given over the years. What is a woman like you doing in a place like this? People want a catchy title to bring people into the message they're going to give. I thought that was a catchy title. Or this one, she's not the girl she used to be. Well, she wasn't the girl she used to be. Quite a transformation came about with her. Here she was a harlot, and then she's the wife of an Israelite who truly believes in God. That's quite a transition. And then she becomes part of the family of God, and we find her in the genealogy of Christ. What a thing, huh? It's just really something. It's like Rahab stood a chance, spiritually speaking. Anybody can stand a chance, spiritually speaking. All anyone has to do is this. Believe. Turn away from a false belief system and turn to the true belief system. So here's the story, Joshua chapter 2, verse 1. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, especially Jericho." So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country." So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, "Bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country." Then the woman took the two men and hid them. So she said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from." And it happened as the gate was being shut, when it was dark, that the men went out, and where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. Then the men pursued them by the road to Jordan, to the fords. And as soon as those who pursued them had gone out, they shut the gate. Now before they lay down, she said she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God, in heaven above and on the earth beneath. Now therefore I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house, and to give me a true token, and spare my father and my mother and my brothers and my sisters and all they have, and deliver our lives from death." So the men answered her, "Our lives for yours. If none of you tell this business of ours, and it shall be, when the Lord has given us a land, that we will deal kindly and truly with you." That's quite a story. There are certain occupations that we associate with certain biblical characters. Like when you think about Abraham, you think he was a herdsman. He herded sheep. When you think about David, you think he was a shepherd. That's what he was before he became the king of Israel. Nehemiah was a cupbearer. He was a government employee, Nehemiah. Isaiah was a prophet, born to be a prophet. Peter was a fisherman. Esther was a queen. Joseph was a carpenter. Paul was a tent maker. Lydia sold purple dye in a foreign country. But the strangest of all, I think, in the Bible, is Rahab. Just doesn't seem to fit. Fellow cut his foot, went to the emergency room. They brought him in, and triage nurse looked at him and says, "Go into door number 2 there, and she'd take all your clothes off, and we'll be with you shortly." He said, "It's my foot." She said, "This is the policy of our hospital. Go in there, room number 2, take all your clothes off, we'll be with you shortly." So he goes into the designated area, and he's sitting there on the gurney, complaining to himself. Well, the guy in the next room can hear him. After a while, the guy in the next room said, "Would you shut up?" He said, "I came here to fix the phones." Hey, you just never know, right? It's not always like, this is the way I think it should be. It's not always like that. Sometimes the other things take over when you're in a place where it's different, like Rahab. Imagine finding yourself under those circumstances and realizing what's coming, what's ahead, and listening to what's being said. A fellow said this, "Doing nothing is hard. You never know when you're done." That's supposed to be funny. Think of this now. How many people in Jericho were doing nothing about what was coming? But Rahab did something about what was coming. First of all, she believed it was coming. She believed that her world was coming under the judgment of God. And when those spies showed up and they related to her exactly what God was going to do, she believed that and embraced that, and she put everything that she was into that truth. And you say, what if? What if it's not true? What if the children of Israel come and they come up against those fortified walls and they can't break through? And what if Jericho wins the battle and not the children of Israel? And you have sided with the children of Israel. What if? What if it went like that instead of the walls of Jericho falling down and Israel rushing in and destroying the place? You know, the what ifs. What if I embrace Christ? And what if I live for Him and I find out this is not true and I've wasted a life? I could have done this or done that or who knows what? What if it's not true? Yeah, that's right. What if it's not true? But what if it's true? What if it's true? What if there's a heaven and what if there's a hell? What if there's a day of reckoning? What then? It's not a light decision that Rahab made. It's not a light decision anybody makes when he or she comes to Christ. Because there's got to be a willingness to repent. There's got to be a willingness to turn from the direction that you're going to a totally different direction. Rahab teaches that. Somebody said, if two wrongs don't make a right, try three. When do you stop doing that and start doing something else? It's a little bit more than signing a form or going through a process or joining a belief system. It's a little more than that. There's a commitment of the soul and of the spirit towards the things of God that people like Rahab and all those who have come to know him make. It's a little deeper than that, for sure. Timeless truth. Had she lived in the last couple hundred years, I mean, we're going back thousands of years, but had she lived in the last couple hundred years, I think this would be some of her favorite songs. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross my Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away and my night was turned to day when heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Because the writer of that hymn experienced exactly what Rahab experienced thousands of years before. Or maybe she'd sing this. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Maybe that would be her song. Or this one, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. I can't fathom why that's the national hymn of our country. I can't fathom that. I can't fathom people who have such a foreign belief system to that theology singing that. But it's just, I guess, the rhyme or something. Because when you think of it, that saved a wretch like me, do you really believe that? Do you believe you're a wretch? Do you believe you were lost? Do you believe you were found? I mean, that's real salvation. That's the real deal. Whenever those two spies came in there and talked to her, they were talking about the real deal. You really want to do this? You want to commit? And she did. Matthew chapter 1, the genealogy. And it goes like this. This is the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, Judah the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar, Perez, the father of Hezron. Hezron, the father of Ram. Ram, the father of Abinadab. Abinadab, the father of Nahshon. Nahshon, the father of Salmon. That was one of the spies. Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. You're kidding. Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of King David. Wow! There she is, the harlot. Rahab. We see highways named after people. We see buildings named after people. We see streets that are named after people. We see laws that are named after people. We see all that. But look at this name. This name, Rahab. Think of this name. Wow. That's a name. Because where she came from and what she became, there's such a marked transition between the two. When I was, I don't know, maybe 10 years old or so, I had a cousin that was like 12. And he said to me one day, I think I can say that because there's nobody here under 17. He said to me one day, he said, you know something, Gary? We have a great-great-grandmother that was a whore. And I go, I wasn't too sure about that, but I knew that was something bad. And I thought, wow, I think I'll keep that to myself. He's 12. He must know what he's talking about. You know what I mean? So time went on. I kind of left that alone, never discussed that with anybody, and got older. And one day the family was talking about that, and they said, you know, we had a great-great-grandmother that was a whore. I thought, you're kidding. Oh, no, no. Listen, it's spelled H-O-A-R. Well, that makes all the difference in the world. I mean, there's a big difference between W-H-O-R-E and H-O-A-R. So when we finally got all the paperwork and looked at it, that was true. Had a great-great-great-grandmother that was a whore. H-O-A-R. And you know what whore means? If you had the old King James, you'd see it in there in many places. Whore is an old Scottish word for gray-headed. I'm a whore. Hey, I'm not making this up. So anyway, I found out my grandmother, it was an H-O-A-R. Now listen, great-great-great-great-great-grandmother. And she married a diamond. Yeah. So the whore became a diamond. I know, I'm blushing. And you don't think this is true. I can show you that on paper. So anyway.
When you look back there, there are Morrisons, Hughes and Mills and McPhersons and all kinds of stuff. And that whole genealogy, it all comes down to who you are. Think of that. But wasn't that nice to know that about great-great-great-great-grandmother? But she was, really. And she was in the genealogy of Christ. But that's what she was, not what she was going to become. But it's mentioned. And the reason why it's mentioned is because anybody, if he or she would only believe, could be part of the family of God. And you better get it right. You better get it right. She got it right. We don't use that name. I Googled that and found out where that ancestry line came from. There are people today who still carry H-O-A-R for a last name. I personally would change it if it were me, but the greatest number of people bearing that last name settled mostly in New York and Massachusetts, and of course, you know, Massachusetts owned Maine back in history, and New Hampshire, there were a number of them in those states. And then the other state where there's some found is California. So it seems like they settled in a variety of places. And I'm sure the picture would be different if so many of them hadn't changed their name. Because when you hear that, you don't think of white hair anymore. It's taken on a different meaning. But anyway, I don't want to talk about that too long this morning. When I meet Rahab, I'm not going to say to Rahab, and you'll meet her too. If you're going to heaven, you're going to meet Rahab. I'm not going to say, how did you ever get in that business? No, I'm not going to say that. You're not going to say that either. You're not going to say, how much tax did you pay, by the way? I mean, it must have been a lot of income. And no, you're not going to do that either. I'm not going to say to her, you know, when you told your parents what you wanted to become, what did they say? I'm not going to say that. All those things that come to your mind. I'm not going to ask her, do you have any regrets? I'm not going to do that. You know why? Because she's redeemed. All that stuff is under the blood. Aren't you glad all your sin is under the blood? That you don't have to deal with that? And maybe here in this lifetime, people might bring that up to you, but after this lifetime is over, it's gone. It's gone forever. Goodbye, good riddance. So with Rahab. For now, we're reminded of that, to show us where we can come from and where we can go because of decisions that we make today. Rahab. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and he's just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's exactly what happened with Rahab. I'll bet you in Israel, married to Salmon, after a while, she started to look like a Hebrew. She started to talk like a Hebrew. She started to act like a Hebrew. She started to walk like a Hebrew. Big change. All those people in Jericho were gone, but had there been one that survived, that person would not recognize Rahab in the person she now was. So different. So different. She put on a different uniform. That's what Christians do. Christians put on a different uniform. You see it in the way they walk. You see it in the way they talk. You can see it in the way in which they love people. It's different. It's not the same. Verse 9, and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. I know that. She says in verse 10, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites. She said, I heard that, and I believe that. Your God, that's God. Our God, not God. Say there are many gods. The contemporary philosophy of our Western world is there are many ways to heaven, and people just take different routes to heaven. Well, that sounds sweet. That's nice. There's only one problem, and the problem is Jesus Christ. Because Jesus said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. Listen, such a small percentage of the population of Jericho believed that message. But that small percentage of the people of Jericho that believed that message were saved. They were saved. When judgment came, they lived. They didn't die. Who is your God? The Rahab? Who do you serve? What kind of an influence does this belief system have on your life? Think of that, those questions for her. Think of that, those questions for every believer. We're talking about testimony time. Testimony time was, this is where I came from. This is where I am now. This is where I plan on going. This is what God has done in my life. Amazing grace. It's a good testimony. Rahab had testimony. And then verse 12, she talks about her family. Verses 12 through 13, she says, my father's house, my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters. What about them? Well, that's a good sign of a genuine faith. A good sign of a genuine faith is when you start being burdened for your mother and father and your brothers and your sisters, because you know what they're facing if they don't believe the way you do. That's a hard thing. I don't know how that worked. We'll find out. We get to meet her. How did she convince her father and mother to be there when the children of Israel came? How did she convince her brothers and sisters to be there when they came? Because, you know, when we go back and look at Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah, and Lot went out to talk to his daughters and sons-in-law, they mocked him. And they were lost. They never made it out of Sodom and Gomorrah. But here we have with Rahab, she takes her mother and her father and her sisters and brothers, and they have to believe because they have to be in a particular place, her home, when the children of Israel come. You got to make a decision on that. She had to make a decision about her belief system, her worldview, and her mother and father and sister and brothers had to make a decision about their worldview. It's as simple as that. That's how simple it is. Not going through a process of things. It's not studying to enter some denomination. It's believing wholeheartedly what God said. And she did. How did that happen? Well, she heard truth and she believed it. She heard more truth, she believed more. She heard even greater truth, she even got more solid as a believer. When those two spies finally entered into her home and started talking about that, she was sold. There she was. So many people in the valley of indecision, they're not sure. You know, I don't know. I'm not sure. You'll spend eternity not sure. 1,000 years from now. Oh, you'll be sure then, but it's too late. You need to be sure now. We need to be sure. Rahab was willing to join a family, a spiritual family, Israel. How do you witness like that? How do you do that? It has to be compelling. There's a good word. It has to be irresistible. It has to be convincing. It has to be rational. And it has to be authoritative. Can you imagine them listening to Rahab as she's going through that process? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When you say, this makes sense, this makes sense. I'm going to enter into this with you. She becomes an example of what God has been doing since creation. Men have gone off, done their own thing. Nations have developed. They had in themselves their own conscience to realize there was a God. They had creation itself to realize there was a God. They rejected all of that. They went their own way, did their own thing. Here and there, throughout history, there have been people like Rahab who were just enlightened. They just stepped into the light, just embraced it. And there were so few all through. Today, same thing. So few really do. Not religion, but a relationship with God through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not a religion. How did she prove it? How did she prove it? She put the cord out the window. That's how she proved it. How did she prove it? She came out of there alive. How did she prove it? How did she prove it? She was a harlot. Now she's not a harlot. How did she prove it? When someone is convicted of a major crime like murder, there's an investigation done and people are questioned and investigators look at what they were doing and whom were they calling on the phone, what their computer says and all that kind of stuff. They bring all that information in, whether there's going to be a conviction or not. Here's Rahab. You bring her out and you look at all the evidence. She's found in the Old Testament. That's good. She's found in the New Testament. That's good. She's found in so many places in the Bible. In Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter of the Bible, there's Rahab. Only two women mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. Rahab is one of them. That's good. It's convincing that she was what she claimed to be, Rahab. Hebrews 11:31, by faith the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. Hey guys, come in. You're good here. You're safe here. I wonder, I was just talking to Salmon too, you know, it's going to be like when you knocked at that door, knowing that the authorities were after you, what did you feel like? Say, well, when he opened the door and he saw her and she started talking about God. Listen, you knock at the door of an inn which is owned and managed by a harlot and you open that door and you walk in there and she is talking about God. You don't expect that. That's an amazing thing. The spies didn't win her to Christ or to God. We could use those terms interchangeably. She already had been introduced because the information had already come to Jericho. Listen, Jericho was under judgment, but it doesn't mean that Jericho had to be judged individually. People could make a decision. It's like when the death angel came over Egypt and the oldest son in every family would die if the blood hadn't been applied. The death angel wasn't looking for Israelites and not Egyptians. The death angel was looking for the blood. Where the blood was applied, that boy was safe. Where the blood was not applied, that boy would die. And then in James we read this, likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? She did the right thing. Are we saved by works? Was she saved because of the way she took care of the spies? No. That's not why she was saved. But because she was saved, she took care of the spies. Don't get it backwards. You know, don't get the cart before the horse. Faith without works is dead. Works will never produce faith, but faith will always produce works. Faith without works, we got a problem. We've got a real problem here. Because faith produces works. That's important. Vance Abner is an old preacher, and I love to listen to him preach. He started preaching when he was 16 years old. Vance Abner went on and earned his college degree and wrote a number of books, wrote for newspapers, all that in his lifetime, but he started out at 16 preaching. He was from a little backwater in North Carolina, backside of nowhere. But he became one of the most prolific and proficient teachers of the Word of God in the century in which he lived. He says his life verse was this, it's found in Genesis 24. Hinder me not, seeing the Lord has prospered my way. And he was talking about Abraham's servant when he was going to get a wife for Isaac. And they try to keep him there for a length of time. Hinder me not, seeing the Lord has prospered my way. And then old Vance Abner would say this, all the way my Savior leads me, What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? He's an old man. He said, I can't quit. He said, I can't give up. Keep on going. Quick review. She was under a place coming under the judgment of God. We live in a world that's already been judged. But there's going to be a climax of that judgment. That's the world we live in. We live in a world you can't get out of alive. Death is the sign that our world is under judgment. She was condemned. That's true. But she heard the truth. What a difference, huh? What a difference. The truth. I don't know about you, but I'm getting tired of the news. There are 23 Democrats running for president in 2020. Whatever the final number, there are a lot of them. Well, I won't get any of the rest of that, but you listen to all that. You wonder, what's true? What's true? People talking about how beautiful the future is going to be. You think, really? Really? What's true? What's the truth? The only truth that we have as Christians is that we know that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes unto the Father but by me. Jesus came here. He didn't get involved in the political system. He didn't get involved in the religious system. And the political system and the religious system both got together to crucify him. Listen, we as Christians are in this, and we should be very careful that our business here is to honor and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. The only hope that we have for anybody is the person of Jesus Christ. And the devil will do whatever he can to keep us away from fulfilling that obligation that we have as Christians. Rahab, you did a good job. You did a good job. I mean, for where you came from and what you had to work with, what a wonderful job you did in the generation in which you lived, Rahab. What a testimony. What's ours? Every once in a while, we got to check it out. What's our testimony? Sometimes, could use a little work, huh? Could use a little work, maybe. Sometimes you go to the doc and the doc says, you got a few problems here. But if you work at it, and we leave there with that work at it, you can do a few things like lose a few pounds. You could take this pill, do this or that. You could, if you want to work at it. We do that in everything. Do that in business, a lot of things, a little work. So now we started with our testimony. We're going to end with our testimony. Could our testimony use some work? Could we make some decisions to make our testimony better? Does it make a difference? Could make a difference. To whom? A mother, a father, a sister, a brother, children? Could make a difference. Don't we want to gather them up and bring them in too? Are we selfish? Just us? Just care for me? Shouldn't do that. Rahab, what testimony? It's a bow in prayer. Father, we thank you for this life. This life was lived, and Father showed so much grace and mercy. Just what you could do with an individual. We thank you for that. Oh, Father, you could do that with us. We're not much to work with. You did that with her. May we desire that. May that be the desire of our heart. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.